So I mentioned that I was from Brazil, Indiana, which is not a remarkable place, but it is my hometown, as I'm sure you would defend the pride of your hometown as well. But every year, in fact, it's going on right now, they have a fair to celebrate the 4th of July. And there's a carnival that comes in with kid rides, and the churches and associations and things like that will have booths. And I remember the elephant ears, we would go for those, and the funnel cakes and all those sort of things. But one of the highlights was they have a band shell there in Forest Park, and every night there's a different type of entertainment at the fair. And one night, this was back in 1979, I would have been, I guess, about 9 or 10 years old at the time. And there was an Elvis impersonator who was performing that night. Now, this was within, I think Elvis died in August of 77, so this would have been within about 2 years. So the Elvis fever was still at high pitch, and there was a lot of tributes going around to Elvis in that time. And he was there performing on stage, and he was performing as the late Elvis, the Vegas Elvis, the one that wore the long suit with the bell bottoms and the long collars and the rhinestones all speckled. And he had that scarf, right, that he wore. I think it was light blue, if I remember right. Some of you probably have a better memory of that than I do. But so this impersonator, and there was a pretty good crowd, a lot of women, and they were getting pretty caught up in the moment of Elvis. Again, the impersonator of Elvis Presley, they were getting caught up with. And things were getting kind of rowdy. And, Elvis used to take that scarf, and he would, wipe his sweat and off the back of his head, and he'd get the gyrating, and sometimes that towel or that scarf would come off, and he'd throw it into the crowd, right? Well, this impersonator was doing that same thing. He was getting into all the motions, and my brothers and my mom are there sort of watching this from a distance, and he gets that cloth, the impersonator again of Elvis Presley, not the real Elvis, the impersonator. He gets this cloth and he throws it out into the crowd, and there's some screaming women there, and it comes right into the middle of these two ladies. And I remember them both reaching out for that scarf, and they both had it. It was theirs to claim, the scarf of the impersonator of Elvis Presley. And they began to actually tug on it, and there was a push for the scarf of the impersonator of Elvis Presley. And even at 10 years old, I was, I was thinking, this is kind of odd. But they sort of got caught up in the moment, I suppose. But another reason I think that event happened, and I think we will find a little bit of truth in that in our own lives, is that we collect things. you might call them artifacts. They're living things, though. We collect things that get us in touch with something that's real in our lives. But if we walk into any of our houses, we would find pictures on the wall and pictures on the table of people and events that are important to us, or certain items that you might keep close at hand. I have a knife in the bedstand next to my bed. It was my grandfather's, and every now and then I'll pull that out, and it connects me to him. In fact, I also have a quilt that my mother made. My dear mother, who's still living and in good health, this was my baby blanket. I was thinking, how big a baby was I? But I guess she anticipated 6'4" somewhere along the way. But I have this, and it's in our TV room, and it's in with all the other blankets. And I won't say that I get it out and put it over me, but I do look at it occasionally. And she could have bought any blanket from whatever the dime store was of the day, but she took time to, and there was love that was put into this. So when I see this, it reminds me of my mother's love. And my goodness, we just happen to have some quilts here on the altar today. And quilts do this too, don't they? It's a tradition, a ritual, you might say, that quilts are made to honor a person or to show love for a person. And I bet every one of these quilts has a story behind it, or a tribute, or an event. And we won't call all of them out, but they're beautiful, aren't they? They're just beautiful. We might leave them here. Can we do that? No. Anybody want to just tell a in 30 seconds or less the story of the quilt, one of your quilts? I don't know if anybody. I know these quilts have a story.
On the second one from that end.
This one?
Right.
Okay.
That is quilt squares that were embroidered and pieced for my mother for her wedding shower. So the shower, and I'm sure the signature's on there, they probably started those in 1940, 39, 40, 40, 41, because they were married in 41. And so on that quilt, I have my grandmother's and great-grandmother's signatures on there and some aunts. And then there's a little card in the back that tells who did each one of the quilt squares.
Yeah. And there's a connection there, obviously, you can tell, between the family and Karen. One more. Yes, Joy?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
The one on the end is made out of handkerchiefs that belonged to Robert's grandma, Scott, which I inherited hundreds of them when she passed away. And I just had a friend make that quilt in March. Okay, so.
Yeah.
And I have plenty of handkerchiefs left.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for that. So as you can tell, there are we collect things. So maybe those women weren't so out of line that night at the impersonating Elvis concert, because we desire to connect to the real. We want something that connects us to make sense of the bigger picture, because life is tough, isn't it? And we run into difficulties and disappointments, and we have terrible things that happen to us, tragedies in our lives and losses along the way. And we like those things to connect us. We want to connect to something real. The lady that we read about this morning in the Gospel of Mark was looking for something real. She wanted to know that there was a God, and that he was full of love, and that he could heal, and that there was meaning to her life, because she'd been dealing with this issue for 12 years. That's a long time to be dealing with a serious health issue. And so she was beginning to get run down. But you can tell still that there was a seed of hope there with her, because there was a rumor that Jesus was coming to town. And she had heard things about Jesus. Word was getting around about him that he was offering healing to people, and he was speaking with great authority. And so she thought, well, I'll try this. And she went toward where Jesus was, and as she got there, what did she find? She found a crowd. Because she's not alone. You're not alone. I'm not alone in our desire for something real, something to connect the dots, something to make it all seem like it makes sense, because there are things that can interject into our lives where our lives don't make sense. And we want that order. We want to know that there's love at the center of our lives. And so there's this crowd, and the crowd's pushing up against Jesus. And Jesus, or the woman, sees the crowd, and she's weak from her illness, and she's imagining, if I can just get close enough, even if I don't touch his hand, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, then I know that this Jesus can help me and heal me. And so she works her way through the crowd, and sure enough, she gets just close enough. She can't touch Jesus, but she reaches the hem of his robe. And it says at that moment, Jesus felt power come out of him. Now, where did that power go? It went into the woman. And she finds healing. In that moment, it says that her illness, that she was restored to health. Because she touched the garment that lay on Jesus Christ. She touched the robe that was connected to Jesus Christ, that surrounded Christ, that was a way to Jesus. Where is there such a robe today? I want to touch that robe. I want to touch that garment, because I need healing in my life. And I know you need healing in your life. We're all broken at some level, and we need that healing. We need that power from God to keep reminding us that there is purpose and meaning and hope in our lives. Where is that garment? I grew up in touch with that garment. Sometimes I didn't want to go touch the garment. My mom would pull me out of bed on Sunday morning, and she said, "We're going to church." And I began to get in touch with that garment that people can feel and they can touch and they can hear. And that garment is the church. It's through the church that we can experience the power of Jesus Christ in our life. We can experience His powerful presence in our lives. That tapestry that is Christ and His healing and His love and the transformation that can take place in us, we began to feel it and touch it in the church. Through the fellowship, through the hymns that we sing, and through the word proclaimed, and through the prayer that we offer up, and just the sharing that we do as a church community. And I hear it said, and when people say it, they're acting like they're saying something profound, like no one's ever heard it before, that, "Well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." And I'm thinking, what does that mean? What it means is you're going to find and make your own path. But as we read the scriptures, we find that it's a pretty narrow path. It's a pretty narrow way. Now, you can go try some of those, and I'm sure some of you, and I've tried one of those paths along the way, probably more than one in my life, and I found that they always lead to dead ends, or they lead to even destructive behaviors in our life. We need to have spirituality in the church, but first of all, it begins with the religion of the church. And what is religion? Well, look at the word religion. So it comes from two Latin words, really. One, a prefix, re, which means again, and ligio. Think about ligaments. They I'm no doctor, but don't they hook bones to bone? Is that what they do? They bind things together. So religion, all religion is, to say it simply, is to bind us again, to reconnect us. To reconnect us to who? To what? To the living God. And so everything we do and say in this church, everything we undertake, everything we experience in this church should be connecting us again to the God whom we can so easily separate from. And there are so many things in the world that can pull us and separate us from the living God. And they can distract us and divert us. And before we know it, days, weeks, months, years pass by, and we've lost connection with the living God. And when we lose connection with the living God, we lose connection with the healing of God. Physical healing, but the spiritual healing, the emotional healing in our relationships, as husband and wife, as parent to child, as grandparents, co-workers. Life gets ugly when we disconnect from the church. When we disconnect from the Christ who is the power that we find at the church. And so what we do here is important. Because we are the garment that people will first touch to experience God. James says in James 4, chapter 8, he says, "Draw unto God, and God will draw close to you." Or the King James says, "Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you." You want to get close to God? You want to experience the power and the blessings and the healing of a living God? You reach out to God and you reach out and seek to touch Him and to experience Him and to feel Him. And that happens in the church. Jesus gave us the church for that purpose. He said, "Where two or three are gathered, you can count on it. I'll be right there with you." Now that puts a big responsibility on us, and I don't know if we're always up to it. That means we got to keep our garments clean. And I'm not talking about the carpet. The carpet looks nice. Walls look nice. I'm talking about us. This robe of righteousness that we were given at baptism, we have to maintain that as white as snow, because if people are coming to God, if they're coming to Jesus Christ, they're coming to Christ through the church. And so people are looking at us and they're watching and they're listening. They're checking out our robe. They're checking out our garment. And if you've been separated from the church, or maybe you've never been connected to the church, and so you've never been connected to Jesus Christ, I want you to hear those words of James. James says, draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. But he adds something after that, James does. It gets real at that point. He says, if you're going to do that, wash your hands, O sinner. Purify your hearts. Churches always need cleaning, and it's not the closets and the carpet and the curtains. It's us. Each of us is responsible for drawing nigh unto God every day, every moment, so that the church can be what the church was meant to be, and that is when people are reaching and hoping to find Jesus Christ and to experience Him, when they come in these doors or when they meet you at the coffee shop or wherever, that they are, they're touching the hem and the robe of Jesus' garment. That's a big order, but the payoff is worth it, because the payoff is, daughter, you are healed. Son, you are healed. And we live in a world that needs healing. And the titles of those books is the separation, I think, was in the title. Separated from God. And when a world and a community gets separated from God, things get ugly. Things get destructive. But we are here. Fundamentally, we are here to be light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We are here to point people to the hope of Jesus Christ. We are here to point people to the healing power of Jesus Christ. So we've got our work to do, but it's an important work. There's no more important work than to do that. You know, we have our jobs to pay the bills, and we take care of children and grandchildren, and we go off and fulfill duties that we have to fulfill. But fundamentally, our life, it's about Jesus. Maintaining our own life in Jesus and leading others so that they can experience the healing of Jesus Christ. And I'm so honored and happy to be here to be able to share in that important work with you, and in the weeks and the months and the years ahead, that we will have an opportunity to share Christ with a world so in need of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so thankful this morning for the witness of these who are here this morning and their faithfulness to be the church. And to do the work of the church this morning, our work being worship on this Sunday morning. Grant us the wisdom and the strength and the patience and the kindness and the grace and the love that when people see our church, when they see us, when they experience us, when they converse with us, when they walk alongside us, that we serve as that hem of the garment of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we do that, your kingdom of God will grow up around us, and we will give you glory and honor now and forever. Amen.